opens the Rambam in a line of Chagig Tzichas in English. Today's chapter from the Rambam's Mishnah Torah is the 10th chapter of Hilchas Ovel, the Laws of Mourning. This letter contains 10 halachas and deals with the effect that Shabbos and Yom Tov, the holidays, have on mourning procedures. Perek Asiri, the 10th chapter, halacha Aleph. HaShabbos Eilu L'minyan Abelus. Shabbos counts as far as the days of mourning are concerned. The Eir Abelus B'Shabbos Eilu B'Dvorim Shabbatina. However, the mourning practices observed on Shabbos are only for things which are done in private. There is no public mourning done on Shabbos. But since mourning is done in those things which are not known to anyone else, not known publicly, therefore it does count still as a regular day of mourning. What are considered things done privately? Kedein atipas harosh. For example, covering over the face, as the Rambam described in Perek Hey, is something normally done only in private, and therefore he can do this when no one else is around. So to the tashmish amita, marital relations is something not public, or the chitza b'chami, washing with hot water. This is something also which no one knows about. Obviously, we're not speaking of water which was warmed on Shabbos, because then, anyway, Shabbos one would not be able to wash with it. However, if it was heated up before Shabbos, and he's washing his hands, feet, and only his hands and feet, then it would be allowed. But things which are obvious to everyone, ain't a neg, behema velus. He does not mourn. Elolavish me no love, and therefore he must put on his shoes, the zekid, the tamita, he turns the mita, the couch, the chair, and bed in his house, he turns it right side up. The nation shalom macholodim, and he gives greetings to everybody. Unlike the regular days of Shiva, when he does not wear shoes, his kaifes tamita turns it upside down and does not give shalom. If he has another garment to wear for Shabbos that does not have the kriya, the tear in it, then he changes clothing. And he should not wear a torn garment on Shabbos even when he is mourning for his father or mother. And if he has no other garment to change to, he should turn around this tear so it is in the back. He should reverse his garments. That evidently their garments were reversible, as we've mentioned in previous parakim. If we should turn it around and put that tear in the back. Halacha base. But what time does he turn the bed over on Friday? Yet on Friday. The Rambam answers. After mincha time, the time for the afternoon prayers, he turns the mita right side up. But nevertheless, he should not sit on it until it becomes dark, until Shabbos itself comes in. And even if he has remaining only one day of the Shiva, the Shabbos was the sixth day, and then he has only one day left, he should turn these beds over again on Mitzvah Shabbos. Saturday night he turns them over again, sits on them as they are turned over a little bit in the morning, and then Nictus Ayim Kukule was a little bit of the 7 days passed by, the Shiva period has ended, as the Rambam explained in Perek Vav. Halacha Gimel. The Rambam now describes the difference between Shabbos, the effect of Shabbos on the morning procedures, as opposed to the effect of the holidays. Haragolim, the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. So Kain Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim, so to these two holidays, Ein Dover Medivrei Avelus Neig Bahem. Nothing of mourning practices is practiced in them. The Rambam rules are not only things which are obvious to everyone, but even things which are betzina, which are done in private, also one is allowed to do on Yom Tov. The fact in the Shulchan Aruch, however, is not like the Rambam in its respect, but evidently others have a different version of the Gemara than the version that Rambam had, and therefore they ruled that just as on Shabbos, the Bodim Shabbatzina, things done in private must be observed by the mourner, so too on Yom Tov. Now the Rambam deals with the idea of the holiday being Mevatel the Avelus. But call a Kever as Meisei, anyone that buries this person, Afilu Shah Achas Kedem Arego, even if it was only 1 hour, but 1 moment before the holiday came in, or Kedem Rosh Hashanah B'Yom Kippurim, or if not the three holidays before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Batla Mimeno Gzeira Shiva. The law is that the holiday nullifies the entire Shiva, the entire 7 day mourning period. So it turns out, And after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he will have to count 23 days to complete the Shleishim. That since the as long as he has mourned for at least one moment before the holiday has come in, it counts for the entire Shiva. Therefore, even if he heard, or even if the burial took place Erev Rosh Hashanah, immediately before dawn, so he, as long as he kept the mourning practice for a little bit of time, the holiday itself completes the Shiva period to account for 7 days. After Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah finishes, you'll have to complete another 23 days for the Shleishim for the 30-day period. 7 days he has already completed, because the Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur completes it for that time, and then he has another 23 to complete it. If this happened before Pesach came in, then after Pesach finishes, they will have to complete only 16 days for the Shiva. Because first of all, the holiday came, the first day of Pesach came in and nullified the 7-day mourning period of Shiva. So he has seven. The Shiva's Yemeachad Harei Arba Osef. And there are 7 days for the holiday itself. It adds up to a total of 14. And since the days of the holiday count also for days of the Shleishim, he has observed, so to speak, 14 days of mourning, and only 16 are remaining in order to complete the Shleishim. The Kenim Kovar Kedem Aseres, and so too, if the burial took place before Shavuos, Meina Achrea Shisha Asar Yem, so too there one counts 16 days after. That even though Shavuot is only for one day, it still is considered a regular, it's considered a regular holiday, and therefore it also counts for 7 days. So just as in Pesach, he has 7 days of the holiday, and 7 days to complete the Shiva, so too, if the burial took place before Shavuot, that Shavuot will complete the days for Shiva, there are 7 days. And since it's a holiday, a regular bifnei atzmei, it also will count for 7 days thereafter. Halacha Dalet. After discussing Pesach and Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Rambam must now discuss Sukkot. Kovar as Meitzei Kedem Chagas Sukkot. If he buried this relative before Sukkot came in that case, Meina Achar Achag Tisha Yomim Dovad. After the holiday finishes, at the end of Sukkot, he will only have to count 9 days in order to complete the Shleishim. Shari Shmini Atzeres Regel Bifnei Atzmei. Because Shmini Atzeres, the 8th day of Sukkot, is considered to be a separate holiday. V'nimtza Yom Tov HaRishon Mafsik Shiva. The first holiday, the holiday of Sukkot, will interrupt the Shiva and will count for 7 days. The Shiva is Yemei Achad, then you have 7 days of Sukkot. So that's 14. U'shmini shochag regel echad. And then the 8th day of Sukkot is considered to be a holiday for itself. Another 7. Harei echad ve'esrim yeim. So you have a total of 21 days in order to complete the Shleishim, the 30-day period. He has only 9 days remaining. Halacha hei. Up till now he is speaking about the holiday interrupting the morning period of Shiva, the 7 day. Now the Rambam will speak about being mavatal the Shleishim coming in the middle of the 30-day period. Halacha hei. A kever as meitei shivas yomim kedem regel min aragolim or kedem rosh hashanah b'yom kippurim. If someone buried his relative a full 7 days before the holiday entered, or before Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur came, in this case, he completed the entire Shiva, he doesn't need the holiday in order to be mavatal Shiva, because he has already observed the 7 days of mourning. What is the effect of the holiday in that case? But look, the Shleishim, it nullifies the 30-day mourning period. And therefore, muta lefaper lechadeis be'erev Yom Tov or be'erev Yom Kippurim. He is allowed to cut his hair and wash his clothing Erev Yom Tov, before Yom Tov comes in, or before Yom Kippur comes in, on every Erev Yom Kippur, Shemitzis on Yom Tov Kule. Because a little bit of the day counts for the entire day, as the Rambam explained previously. So if the 30th day falls out Erev Yom Tov, as soon as he keeps morning practice, there's a little bit of the 30th day, a little bit of the 7th day. The 7th day fell out before the holiday came in, he has finished the Shiva. He uses a little bit of the day to count partially for the Shiva and partially for the Shleishim. He has observed a little bit of the Shleishim, and he doesn't have to count anything at all left. There's nothing whatsoever left of the Shleishim after the holiday, because since he has observed a little bit of the morning period of Shleishim before the holiday came in, then the holiday comes in and nullifies the Shleishim. There is one exception, however, to this law. If he is mourning for his father or mother, even if they died 30 days before the holiday came. He does not cut his hair until it has grown extremely long, obviously too long, or until his friends start commenting to him and screaming at him to cut his hair. And this is one matter which the holidays do not interrupt, that this idea that he must not cut his hair, not in a certain time period, but rather according to how long the hair has grown. This is unaffected by the holiday. Halacha Vav. Chol shisha shalei be'erev haregel. If the sixth day of his mourning falls out to be erev yom tov, the ein tzarech le'emer chamisha ashlishi, and certainly if it's only the fifth or the third day, alluding here to other opinions in the Gemara. In this case, that the sixth day fell out to be erev yom tov, ein a mikaleach, he is still not allowed to cut his hair. Le'botlo mimena, el gzeira shiva b'vad. And the only thing which goes away is the gzeira shiva, the mourning period of 7 days. Since he has not completed the 7 days, before yom tov has come in, the only thing it takes away is gzeira shiva. Ve'ein amuto lirchait falasuch v'lasus tavar ashikonis yom tov. And furthermore, he is not allowed to wash or to anoint himself or do anything else which is prohibited to someone in Shiva until Yom Tov itself enters. When Yom Tov itself enters, as we said above, there is no law of availus whatsoever, according to the Rambam, even in Devarim Shabbatina. But until that time, he is not allowed to do anything which is normally prohibited. The Yom Tov Masik Shara Shiva, and the Yom Tov takes away the rest of the 7 day mourning period. He completes the rest of the 30 days which were remaining from the time that the person passed away. And he's prohibited in all of the 5 things that an avil is prohibited from in shleishim, as the Rambam mentioned in the second halacha of Perek Vav. So therefore, the only time that it will not, that the holiday will not have an effect on the total length of his mourning period is if the sixth day falls out Erev Yom Tov. If it was the seventh day Erev Yom Tov, then he would lose the entire shleishim. He wouldn't keep shleishim altogether. And should it be the fifth day, then he will have still 1 day of a shorter period, since he will have 1 day shorter of Shiva. As soon as the holiday comes in, he will not have to keep the seventh day. However, in this case, where the sixth day fell out to be out of Shabbos, then the shleishim period remains the same. Halacha Zayin. Chol shvi shle liyeis be'erev haregel v'arei hu Shabbos. Let's say Erev Yom Tov fell out to be Shabbos, and that same day, which is Shabbos, and Erev Yom Tov was also the seventh day of his mourning. So the problem here is as follows. Normally, when the seventh day would fall out Erev Yom Tov, he would be considered to have completed the Shiva before Yom Tov, and the Yom Tov will come and be mevatel the Shleishim. He will not have to keep the 30-day mourning period, since he has already had some of the mourning period of the Shleishim of the 30-day period before the holiday has entered. However, in this case, this day was Shabbos. So therefore, on Shabbos, as we mentioned at the beginning of the Perek, one does not keep mourning practices. However, Batla Mimeno Gzeira Shleishim. Nevertheless, the 30-day mourning period is nullified nevertheless. And the reasoning behind this is that since he still keeps Dvarim Shebetzina, things which are private, he does observe mourning practices, therefore it is considered as if he already began the mourning for Shleishim, and therefore the holiday comes and nullifies this Shleishim period. Furthermore, although normally a person is not allowed to cut his hair within the holiday, in Chol HaMoed, let's say in the intermediate days of Pesach or Shavuot, or Sukkot, if one is not normally allowed to cut the hair, in this case, he is allowed to cut his hair even in the middle of Chol HaMoed. Why? He was forced here. It was impossible for him to cut his hair on Shabbos. So when he was in Shiva, he couldn't cut his hair. The Shiva ended on Shabbos, and he couldn't cut his hair Shabbos. Then the Shleishim finished, so now he's allowed to cut his hair again. He's after the Shleishim. But it's Chol HaMoed. He cannot cut his hair Chol HaMoed. So the law is that someone that is anus, that was unable to do so previously, is allowed to cut his hair on Chol HaMoed. And this is one such case. And so too he is allowed to cut his hair after Shavuos or Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because the 30-day mourning period has disappeared, and he is therefore allowed to cut his hair whenever he wishes. That since he has completed observing the Shiva before Yom Tov came in, then the Shleishim also is nisbato and is nullified, and he can, right after the Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or Shavuot, he is allowed to cut his hair immediately. Halacha Ches. A Kevaret may say, Besecha Regel, someone that buries his relative in the middle of the holiday, does not observe any mourning practices whatsoever when he is in the middle of the holiday. And therefore he does not keep any mourning practices within the holiday. After the holiday finishes, he immediately begins sitting Shiva and keeps all the practices of the 7-day mourning period the entire 7 days after the holiday. However, he is allowed to count the shleishim, the 30-day mourning period, beginning from the time of burial. And he keeps the rest of the 30-day period from the time of burial with all of the laws we mentioned in Perek Vav, the 5 things which a mourner must do in or must not do in shleishim. However, he need not begin the shleishim from after the holiday. As he began the shiva after the holiday, he can begin the shleishim from the moment of burial. The final two halachas of the Perek deal with the confounding effects of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. And at the time that the moon was sanctified in Bez Din, according to the testimony of witnesses, testifying that they had seen the moon appear, it would take some time after the declaration of the news to be spread out as to which day, whether it was the 30th day or the 31st day of the previous month, which actually is the first day of the next month. And this has great implications as far as when to observe the holidays the next month. One must know which day is the 10th day of Tishrei in order to know which is Yom Kippur. Those places that were a far distance from Yerushalayim always kept 2 days of the Yom Tov. Sukkot, the first days of Sukkot were 2 days, the last days of Sukkot, and so to Shavuot and so on, they kept 2 days. And then this is known as Yom Tov Sheni, the second holiday, Shel Goliath, that is observed in the exile. Halacha Tes. Those places that observe 2 days Yom Tov can begin counting the 7-day mourning period beginning from the 2nd day of Yom Tov. And even though one is not observing the mourning practices in those days, nevertheless, since it's only a holiday by rabbinic decree, therefore, it still can count for the Shiva. It goes into the total count of the 7 days of mourning. And therefore, after the 2nd day of Yom Tov, one counts only 6 days of the Shiva. And one counts the 30-day mourning period, beginning from the time of burial, as we just explained in the previous halacha and halacha ches. This is all as far as what to count if the Shiva started earlier. But let's say the 2nd day of Yom Tov was the 1st day of the mourning period. The final halacha of the Perek, halacha Yud. A kevaret may say, b'Yom Tov Sheni, shu Yom Tov Ha'acharen. If someone buries his relative on this 2nd day of Yom Tov, which is the last day of Yom Tov, as the Rambam mentioned in Hilchos Yom Tov, that there are certain leniencies in the Yom Tov Sheni, as opposed to the 1st day of Yom Tov, and one of them is the idea of burying a person that passed away. So let's say he has done so, buried somebody on the 2nd day of Yom Tov. Oy the Yom Tov Sheni shall upset it, or he did so on Shavuos, Yom Tov Sheni of Shavuos. Neig bay avelos, he keeps mourning practices, says the Rambam, on Yom Tov Sheni. This is why the Rambam said, Yom Tov Sheni Ha'achren, as long as it's the last one. If it was the Yom Tov Sheni from Pesach, the 1st day of Pesach, the 16th of Nisan, then he's still in the middle of Pesach by Torah law, and this law doesn't apply. But if it was Shmini, Achren Shal Pesach, or Simchas Teda, or the 2nd day of Shavuot, he keeps available, says the Rambam, morning practices on those days. What is the reason for this? Hoyo the Yom Tov Sheni, Midibrayem, Vavelos Yom Rishon Shel Torah. Since the observance of the 2nd day Yom Tov is only by rabbinic decree, whereas mourning practices on the 1st day are Midiraisa, Yitche Esa Shel Dibrayem, Mitnei Esa Shel Torah. A positive commandment of the sages is pushed aside in face of a positive commandment of the Chumash, of Midiraisa. Incidentally, the other commentaries rule that the first day is ultimate abundance, and therefore they ruled in Shulchan Aruch that even on the second day, even in such a situation, it's ruled against the Rambam that the custom is not to observe morning practices, even in such a case. The exception to this rule is when one would bury a relative on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, no morning practices are observed, because both of them are considered like one long day. For the reason that Rambam explained in the laws of Kiddush HaChodesh, that even in Yerushalayim itself they observed 2 days on the Rosh Hashanah. There was no distinction between the first day and the second day. That since Rosh Hashanah must be declared as the first day of the month, there was not even enough time immediately in order to notify them in the Beit HaMikdash itself. There was not enough time. They had to know which korbanos to bring and so on. As a result of this, Rosh Hashanah is treated like a Yom HaRichta, like one long day. There's no difference between the second day and the first day. So as the minig is brought in Shulchan Aruch, there is no distinction between the second day and the first day in the case we mentioned in Allah Yud. But even according to the Rambam, who does distinguish between the first and second day as far as this is concerned, should it be Rosh Hashanah, he would hold that there is no difference. Thank you for tuning into Rambam on the Line, a project of Sikhos in English. For more information or to sponsor a parak, contact Sikhos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us tomorrow for parak Achad Otter.